And so the title of our thought tonight is, what are we laboring for? What are we laboring for? And I don't know. I guess at times I get a little, what do you want to say, philosophical, or I think a lot. And been doing a lot of thinking over the last few months about where I grew up and all the changes that are taking place in that area. And some of you may know, some of you may not know that I grew up just about a mile from where they're going to build the new Intel complex and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of changes going on. And my mother still lives there. And where I grew up with many people, I worked for some people. We have friends that sold their homes to Intel. And in many cases, for millions of dollars. A lot of people became millionaires overnight. And I think about the farmer that I worked for. His name was Milo Foster and his wife named Mary. And I remember some of those things that we did. She actually had Bible school in her home. And that was where we learned some of the Bible, or some of the songs that we know today, we learned right there in Milo and Mary's home. And so there's a lot of fond memories. She's actually 94 years old now. She's had cancer and she's lost part of her jaw and a lot of things. So the quality of life hasn't been very good for her in the last few years. But she has millions of dollars. You know, through all this, she has millions of dollars, but does not have really, you might say, the health or probably the longevity as far as her life is concerned to enjoy it. But she's still able to pass that down to her family. My mother's neighbor, 55 years, just passed away this week. And I was looking at pictures when we were there at the calling hours of restored tractors that he's restored over the years. Looked at pictures of gas pumps from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s that he's restored and got in his garage. All those things were treasures to him. All those things were treasures to him. You know, he's very, very proud of those things. And rightfully so. He put a lot of work into them. But those things that he treasured, those things that were dear and precious to him, will either be passed on to someone in the family that may not have as much appreciation for them as he did, or they will be sold to someone that maybe don't value them like he valued them. And I think about one of these days, Sister Sherry and I, we're going to leave behind our home, our possessions, those things that we worked for all these years. And so as I was pondering these things, my mind went to Solomon. Thought about Solomon. And as I was reading Ecclesiastes a couple weeks ago, you know, this thought came to my mind. And he had something to say about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the verses here, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18 through 26, he talks about, we'll at least look at verse 18 and then we'll skip down again for the sake of time, says, "Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me." So in other words, all these labors, all these things that he was talking about, all these things that were done under the sun, he says, one of these things, I'm going to leave these things behind to the person that comes along after me. And all of us are going to make that journey someday. Again, we accumulate things over the years, things that we hold precious, things that we hold dear. We labor for a lot of things. And again, we have to live, right? We have to live in this world. But Solomon is saying, you know, I labored for all of these things, and I'm going to leave it behind to the person that comes after me. And so let's go down to verse 26. Verse 26. And it says, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This is also is vanity and vexation of spirit." I'd like to read this out of the Amplified, and it says, "For the persons who pleases God, I'm sorry, for the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting so that he may give to one who God pleases. This too is vanity and chasing after the wind. Has anybody tried to chase after something in the wind? Have you ever had anything get loose from you and you've had to chase it and the wind's just blowing it? You get to it, you think, oh, I've got it! And then the wind blows it away from you. And you think, oh, I caught up with it. I might be able to put my foot on it. And then when I let go of it, then it starts to blow away again. And that's what it is in this life. People are chasing after the wind. People are chasing after the wind. They're chasing after things. They're chasing after possessions. They're chasing after things that one day they're going to leave behind. Young people, do you realize that someday all these things that we hold dear, we're going to leave behind? And Solomon, considered to be one of the wisest men ever to live, was struggling with the fact that all he labored for under the sun. Did you see it? Throughout this passage, actually throughout this book of Ecclesiastes, he refers to those things under the sun. Well, what does that imply, or what does that infer? Anybody have an idea what things done under the sun? What is he implying? What's being inferred here? Anybody want to guess? The things done on this earth, right? Those things done on this earth. Those things done under the sun. And so, all these things he's talking about in Ecclesiastes, all these things, all the fame, all the wealth, all the glory, all these possessions, he talks about accumulating these things under the sun. Those things that they're getting a hold of, that he possessed here on this earth. But he's struggling with the fact here that he labored for all of these things under the sun. They would be left for someone who didn't labor for it, possibly would not appreciate it, and would ruin his legacy. And I was reading in a commentary on this scripture, and it mentioned that Saul's labor was under the sun, like I said, or for gain here on this earth. And he was laboring for that which was, I'm sorry, was he, I guess you might say, and are we laboring for which is above the sun? So what does it mean if I said he's implying those things under the sun? What are we implying about, or what are we talking about, those things that we're laboring for above the sun? Those heavenly treasures, right? Those heavenly treasures. So was he laboring for that which was above the sun, or was he investing and laboring in for that which is heavenly? And I can say that all through Ecclesiastes, everything they talked about was being labored for under the sun. Under the sun. And what did he say? All these things were vanity. What'd you think about that? One of the wisest men ever to be talked about had everything that he could possibly have. And when it comes down to the end, he said, all is vanity. What do you think about that? All is vanity. What would be another word for vanity? One of the translations in the Bible for vanity, they put right next to it, worthless. All of those things that he labored for, when it came down to the end and when it really, really mattered, all those things that he had and accumulated were worthless as far as heavenly treasure was concerned and his heavenly home was concerned. And so the point that I'm trying to get across, young people, is Solomon labored for all the wrong things. He labored for all the wrong things. He labored for glory. He labored for wealth. He labored for power. Those things will either perish or be given to someone else to use as that person sees fit. And maybe he saw that all he wisely labored for, Rehoboam, his son, would come along and completely undo, which he did. Rehoboam turned out to be a very, very wicked king and undid everything that his father Solomon did. I want you to think about that. And Solomon was right. Solomon, and he was right to be worried. But as Brother Decker mentioned this morning in his message, you know, we need to live. We need to work. Go to school in this world. We need to work to support our families. We need to be able to pay our bills. We need to be able to do those things while here on this earth. But we also have to remember, young people, this earth is not our home. Yeah, we're here for a time. We're here for a time. Like I said, the gentleman that we went to the calling hours for, he was probably in his mid-80s, toward his upper 80s. He lived a long time here on this earth. 80-some years. Like I said, the farmer's wife that I worked for, she's 94 years old. She's lived a long life here on this earth. But compared to eternity, it's a very, very, very short span of time. And so, young people, we have to remember that we're not of this world. This is not our final destination. And what are we laboring for? That's the question I have tonight. What are we laboring for? Are we laboring for the things of this world? Again, we have to be able to live here on this earth. That's not what I'm talking about. But do we get so wrapped up? So do we get so tied up in the things of this world that we forget about our long home and what God has put us here to do? What has God put us here to do? I mean, we hear preaching, we hear teaching, we hear these things, but what are we here to do? What is the main goal and purpose for us being here on this earth? Hello? Anybody? Brother Jacob?
Purpose being on this earth is to serve God while we live on this earth and live a life of holiness.
Absolutely. So, to serve God. Brother Jacob said we're here to serve God and to live a holy life. That is absolutely true. And we're also, like Brother Decker said this morning, we are to be His workers, right? We're to be here to set that example for those to follow. We're to be, what do you want to say, the image of God here on this earth, right? And so that's what our main goal should be. And young people, I'm just reminding you of things that you've already heard. But sometimes, you know, we as human beings, we tend to be forgetful at what we are really to be here for. So what are we laboring for tonight? Again, I'll repeat it one more time. We have to live. We have to work. We have to be able to function here while we're here on this earth. But however, what are we doing as far as our treasure is concerned? Where is our treasure? Is our treasure being accumulated here on the things of this earth? Or are we accumulating treasures in heaven tonight? And so Jesus speaking here in Matthew 6:21. Let's look at Matthew 6:21 tonight. So Matthew 6:21, very, very short verse, not a very long verse, but Jesus speaking here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. So Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So where is your heart tonight? Is your heart in the things of God? Or is your heart too attached to the things of this earth? Again, remember, what are we laboring for tonight? And young people, I know it's easy. It's easy to get wrapped up as far as, you know, the cares of this life, the things of this earth. You know, as people go through situations in this life, it's very, very easy to get wrapped up in what's going on here. And sometimes our vision is very nearsighted. What I mean by, how many people in here are nearsighted? Well, what does that mean when we say that you're nearsighted? You can only see things up close, right? So when you try to see things far away, everything's all blurry, right? And so that's why we need corrective lenses, or we need contacts. All right, so we can see those things far away. And so sometimes as we are on this earth, we get very nearsighted. All these things around us, we get so wrapped up in. But God wants us to be a little more farsighted. He wants to see what's going on, or be mindful of what's going to happen in the end. And those things that we really should be working for, and those things that really, really matter. And so Jesus speaking here again says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So where's your heart tonight? Where is your heart tonight? Is your heart earthbound, you might say, wrapped up in things of this earth like Solomon? This is where his heart was. This is where his heart was. Even though that God gave him great wisdom, I think Solomon throughout his life was very short-sighted. He forgot about what was going to happen in the end, where he was going as far as his long home was concerned. And so young people, again, as we go to college, as we go to school, as we go to work, as we begin to accumulate, you might say, treasure, do the treasures that we have here on this earth have more value than living for Jesus tonight? Do we put more value in these things? Do we put more value in our cars? Do we put more value in our bank accounts? Do we put more value in our education? Again, all these things are needful. All these things are needful. But are we putting value, like Brother Jacob's holding up? Do we hold great value with this over this, like Brother Decker was saying this morning? Or are the things of this earth holding greater value to us? Greater value to us than those things of heaven tonight? Do those things have more value than living for Jesus? Or again, do we see things, you know, I as I was thinking about this, do we see things as a means of getting through this life and using them for what we can do for the glory of God? You know, I think about that. Sometimes we put so much value on things. We put so much value in what we have as far as possessions on this earth are concerned. And really, they should be a means or a vehicle that we can promote the gospel, young people, that we can do those things that will see others get saved, see others living for God. Many of the parables that Jesus brought, he would liken them to this. He would start them out. The kingdom of heaven is likened to. Well, why would he say that? The kingdom of heaven is likened to. Why would he say that? If you think about some of the parables, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13. So if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 13, he uses many, many things of this life The kingdom of heaven is likened to, that we can relate to, those things that we can understand. And so Matthew chapter 13 begins with the parable of the sower. All right? When he spoke this parable, it was things that farmers or people that tilled the ground could understand. Then he goes to verse 24 in chapter 13, talking about the parable of the tares. Somebody coming along and basically sowing weeds in the crop. Then verse 31 of this same. He starts out this parable, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a mustard seed. Verse 44 and 45 is where we want to go to finish out our thought tonight. So if you want to go to, again, Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 45, we want to look at these things. 45, and again the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. I started at 45, sorry. I should have started at 44, but that's okay. We'll go back to 44. A couple separate parables here, but he's trying to tie a thought together here. But the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Okay, I know. I'm still there. Who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Now, what you think about this? He was seeking goodly pearls, and when he found the one pearl of great price, what is that? Does anybody know what the pearl of great price is? Speak up, I thought I heard it. Salvation. When he found salvation, he gave up all. He sold all to get this one pearl. I want you to think about that. He was a merchant. He was seeking goodly pearls. But when he found that one pearl, he sold all. So what's Jesus trying to tell us tonight? Yeah, we live here on this earth. We live here on this earth. We have to conduct business on this earth. But young people, we must seek that goodly pearl, that pearl of great price, right? Why? And if we don't keep that in our minds, first and foremost in our minds, we will lose that. We'll lose our salvation. And that's what matters in the end, young people. That's what matters in the end, is our salvation tonight. You know, we can have, you know, I think about, if you've seen pictures of what's happened down in Florida and in the Carolinas, I personally work with somebody that they had a home. His parents actually had a home on Sanibel Island. Thankfully, it weathered the storm fairly good, but Sanibel Island, there was only one way to Sanibel Island and one way off. And that was destroyed. And the only way to get to it now is a boat, but it's a town basically on this island of about 4,500 people. And if you did not have a generator, they were evacuating people, getting them off the island because it was not safe to live there. And I think about all these things that people, beautiful, I'm sure beautiful, beautiful homes, a storm comes through and they wipe it out. And I'm sure that they are devastated. There are people within the state of Florida that are devastated. They've lost everything. Everything that they've worked hard for. But if that happened to us, yeah, it would be devastating. It would be devastating, but thank God we have salvation tonight, right? We have salvation tonight. We have something to look forward to. We have something to look forward to. But when people, young people, are so bound by the things of this earth, I'm sure this was devastating and they would think that their life has come to an end. And if I lost my home tonight, yeah, I would be devastated. But thank God, I have something to look forward to, right? I have something to look forward to. Why? Because I found the pearl of great price. Let's back up to 44 now. So let's back up to 44. Jesus is saying here again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. The which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all he hath and buyeth that field. So again, he's likening the kingdom of heaven to someone that found a treasure. And that's what we have tonight, young people. We have a treasure. What is that tonight? Salvation. Salvation. And this man here said that he went and sold all he had to buy that field. Again, likening it unto salvation tonight. And so, young people, where is your treasure tonight? Where is your treasure tonight? What are you laboring for? Again, we've got all kinds of age groups. Some of you have not started working yet. Maybe some of you have. Maybe done little odd jobs or whatever, and you think, oh, I got $20. What am I going to do with the $20? I remember that, doing my first maybe little lawn mowing job or whatever, and I think I got paid $10 for it. I'm going, yeah, I got $10. What am I going to go do with it? Sadly, $10 doesn't go very far anymore. Can't even hardly go to McDonald's, I don't think, and get anything for under $10. But anyway, the point being is, you're starting to see the value of money and what money can do for you. However, don't let the things that money can buy, those things that we labor for, get us to such a place where we come down to the end of our life and say, like Solomon, that all is vanity. I want you to think about that. He come down to the end of his life and he says, all is vanity. Why? Because he labored for everything under the sun. What you think about that? That just kind of struck me. He labored for all these things under the sun, or everything here on this earth. But he forgot about laboring for those that are which above the sun. Those heavenly treasures to me. And so, young people, again, maybe it was a very, very simple thought, but we've got to be reminded, what are we laboring for tonight? Those things which are under the sun, or those things which are above the sun? Which ones are going to matter in the end? And it's those things that we labor for above the sun. So we appreciate you tonight. We're thankful for you. And we want to see you do well, not only in this life, but we want to see you working for that heavenly treasure.